piano.
My parents forced.
Everybody ready, pretty much?
We're all waiting on you, sir.
We're all waiting on me? I call the meeting of the Carson City Area Metropolitan Planning Organization Wednesday, October 13th, 2010, at the Community Center to order. The MPO is pleased to make reasonable accommodations for members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify the Carson Area MPO staff in writing at 3505 Buddeye Way, Carson City, Nevada, 89701, or ppittinger@carson.org, or call Patrick Pittinger at 775-887-2355 as soon as possible. Requests are required prior to 12 noon, 2 days prior to the meeting. For more information regarding any of the items listed on the agenda, please contact the MPO staff at 887-2355. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting material is posted on the CAMPO website at www.carsonareampo.com. We appreciate everybody that's here today. Appreciate everybody that's watching on TV. Before we start, I'd like to take a poll of all of the members, because Patrick Pittinger let me know that our next meeting is scheduled for November 10th, which is not a holiday, but it is the day before a holiday. And if any of our members are going to be out of town or not planning to be here, I think we'd like to know that. Patrick?
Yes, November 11th is Veterans Day. Armistice Day for Charles.
I guess every, you all right, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Mayor?
I think I'm okay. I'm gone. I'm going to be on, gone on the 11th. I think I'm here on the 10th. So.
Shelly?
I'm fine. I'll be here.
I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Okay. Okay, so the meeting, Patrick, will be on the 10th then, 4:30, starting right here. And can we have the roll call and determination of quorum, please, Kathy?
Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Eswine.
Here.
Member Aldean.
Here.
Member Carpenter.
Here.
Member Kroll.
Here.
Member Desjardins.
Here.
Member Foltz.
Here.
And ex officio Member Van Havel. Quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Item B, approval of minutes. Can we have an action to approve the minutes of the September 8th, 2010 meeting, or are there any member comments on any of the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes of September 8th, 2010 as submitted.
Any other comments on that?
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Modification of the agenda. Patrick?
None from staff.
Public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the MPO may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future MPO meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item on the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Dan? Good to see you, Dan.
Thank you. Dan Allison. I'm speaking for Safe Routes to School at the moment. And I just wanted to thank Commissioners Desjardins, Aldean, and Kroll for participating in Walk to School Day last week at various different schools. And Mayor Kroll walked with students going to Border Whip Ray along Mountain Street. And all of your help is appreciated. And if any of the rest of you participated and I'm not aware of it, my apologies. But I did want to thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan, you ought to know that I talked to a parent who was also walking with me that day and said their son put a baseball cap on today and said he was going to school as a mayor. So I guess,
That's great.
More power to him. Thanks.
Well, and then one young man came up to Mayor Kroll and asked if he was the governor. And I said, you know, he's equally important.
Charles?
I also wanted to say I spent about 40 minutes at Eagle Valley, and I got a chance to meet the new principal, Lee Connolly, and I was very impressed with him and his dedication to the kids and their safety at Eagle Valley. And so that was a very important and helpful and useful contact for me.
Anybody else? Russ? Paul? No. Jeff? No. Any other people have any public comments that you'd like to share? Okay, let's move on to item E, disclosures. Any member have any disclosures? Seeing none, we'll go to item F1, information regarding proposed amendment to the Campo Fiscal Year 2011-2014 Transportation Improvement Program. Dan Dengis. Did I get it right?
That's right. Thank you.
I've been working on it for a month.
Appreciate that. Basically, this is an information item. We're proposing an amendment to the Transportation Improvement Program. Pretty much as the Commission Action Form says, we want to, better inform the public and manage and track our projects. And if you look at the second page of the attached tip table, there's a whole new section, basically, bicycle and pedestrian improvements. Actually, it was there a while back in previous versions of the TIF, but we brought it back, and it basically lists projects that are being funded either through the Transportation Enhancement Program or Safe Routes to School. NDOT and their STIP list these as group projects, so they don't really break them out, but, as we have one specific to the Campo area, we felt, we should list them here separately. So that's really the cause for the proposed amendment. We're in a 30-day public comment period that was noticed on October 3rd, and we'll also be having a public informational meeting in the Bonanza Room here on October 27th. And willing to entertain any questions?
Any questions by any members of Dan? Any questions of Dan by anybody in the audience? Seeing this as an informational item, is that correct? Oh, so, go ahead. Sorry.
Dan Allison, Safe Routes to School Coordinator. I would just like to say that I'm pleased to see these items listed individually because it helps everybody better understand the work that the Campo RTC and city is doing to meet these objectives. Some of them are directly related to safe routes to school for children, and all of them improve the walkability and bikeability of Carson City. So I'm pleased to see them.
Thank you very much, Dan. Anybody else? Since this is an informational item, we will receive and file it and move on to item F2, information regarding a proposed amendment to the Campo Fiscal Year 2011 UPWP. Patrick?
Thank you. This item, similar to the last one, is before you as an informational item only at this time, as it does require a 30-day public comment period. We'd be seeking approval at the November 10th meeting following the completion of that public comment period. What we are proposing is an amendment to the Unified Planning Work Program, a required document of every metropolitan planning organization that lists how funding will be spent during this fiscal year. This year is a little bit different than previous ones. We have done amendments in previous years. The reason for this amendment, the two little variables that we're dealing with, actually three, one of them is that we actually have been able to have staff to complete the work program, which is a wonderful thing, but does cost money. The second thing is that we are actually spending more money than normal this year, and we are in the process of retaining consultants. And while they're one of those consultant contracts will be we intend to have awarded later at RTC, other ones are still in the development process, and we have gotten better estimates of the money required and slightly higher than we had anticipated. And the third variable that we have is that we do have money that is made available to the MPO on an annual basis. And in previous years, we always had a sum of money that was a carryover balance. And because of the last year's lessons learned, we've been working with NDOT on what transpired with the most recent recessions. There was money that that was rescinded, and for the first time ever, it was rescinded not just from projects that build things, but also rescinded from this funding category. So we realize the exposure potentially in the future to potentially forfeit these funds. We want to make sure that we make use of them while they're available to us. So as I said, it's a combination of factors of need need, fortunately lining up with availability. And I will note that that at a previous meeting, Campo approved the contribution, the local contribution distribution. Normally, what if we had an amendment of this nature, we would be requesting additional funds from each entity. But we now have the year-end calculations for the money spent during last fiscal year, which is displayed in your packet. And the good news is that the credit from last year is more than it's worth more than twice what we are proposing to increase as part of this amendment. So the bottom line is that both Carson City and Douglas County would actually have a lower final bill due than was previously approved, and Lyon County's will remain the same because they were already getting a reduced rate for the previous actions. So once again, this is just an informational item, but I'd be happy to take questions. Oh, and I just one thing to add, actually, this has already been forwarded on to NDOT program development staff, who is already reviewing it, and onto Federal Highway Administration staff as well to make sure that we have their concurrence as we go forward.
Thank you, Patrick. Before we take any member comments, I'd like to ask, first of all, welcome, Jason. And secondly, I'd like to ask if you have anything you'd like to add, since this is an NDOT item.
Thank you, and I think Patrick has addressed it pretty well.
Thanks. Thank you, Jason. Member Aldine?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick or Dan, I noticed that we'll be purchasing with these planning dollars traffic counters. Obviously, the traffic counters help us to gather important information as part of the planning process. But would that money also be available to purchase radar signs, since radar signs also help us gather data with respect to speeds?
Well, before I answer that directly, I will note that the Safe Routes to School money that was just addressed does actually have funding to acquire 5 new radar signs.
But those are only in connection
only in
with school the schools,
areas.
Right?
That is,
I'm thinking about
that is correct.
Other areas around town where we have repeated, you know, requests for traffic modification devices.
That may be possible. We'd have to make sure that we got it through the Federal Highway Administration. Would be the most important part. We'd have to talk to them. We could certainly do that because the data that we get from these of course are mobile units that can be used to help us to make sure that we're running the system efficiently or to do support modeling efforts and the like. But it doesn't mean a stationary unit can't do the same.
Well, except that our radar signs are mobile too. I mean they're controlled by solar panels, so they can be relocated.
Yes, to varying degrees.
A little more arduous than relocating a counter.
Yes, to varying degrees, but we can certainly.
If you could look into that, would be great.
Yeah, we can look into that.
Thanks, Patrick.
Member Eswine?
Yes, I have a couple questions or comments mostly. I noticed a discrepancy between page 3 and page 10. Where on page 3 it refers to arterial and urban traffic collector optimization study for Carson City, and then page...
Which page 3? Because page 3 is a map.
I'm sorry, page 6.
Page 6.
Page 6.
And page 10. Page 6 and page 10.
Yes.
Okay.
That on the two last bullet items on page 6, it refers to Carson City, and then... on page 10 and 11, it refers to the Campo area.
I'd be happy to. That error was in there when you, unfortunately, you approved it last time, too. but we'd be happy to change to the Campo area. Actually, member Fultz didn't actually ask that specific question earlier today, but I did point out to him that this does extend into Douglas and Lyon counties. For example, in the case of Douglas County, there's already an existing agreement for the coordination of signals from the south side of Carson City well into Douglas County, and that will all be improved as part of the same package.
Thank you.
So Patrick, everywhere it says Carson City on page 6, the last two bullet items will say Campo area?
The second to last, I was referring to the arterial and urban collector traffic signal optimization study. That should say Campo, not just Carson City. However, the the final one, the pavement management system, is indeed was only requested by Carson City at this time.
Okay.
So on page 11, then it would be changed to just Carson City.
Yes, you're correct. That was yes. The arterial coordination is indeed for the entire Campbell area. However, the pavement management is Carson City.
Any other member comments, questions, observations? Seeing this as any member comments from anybody in the audience? Questions? Anything of Patrick? Seeing this as an informational item only, let's move on to item F3. Ken? You're going to talk about the Triangle bus service, correct?
Yes, Mr. Excellent. Chairman, members, appreciate being here again tonight. We just wanted to let you know that this project has been moved forward. And since we last talked about it here before the commission, we've had a roundtable discussion with all of the planning partners. We've come up with this plan that's before you today. We've revised it already after getting comments from several of the planning partners. And right now we're just waiting for Tahoe Transportation District to kind of get settled into their new role over in South Lake Tahoe and decide or determine what type of local funding they can bring to the table for this project. And when we determine that we have a viable project here and commitment from the planning partners and the financial partners, we'll be sure to get some public involvement as well.
Thank you, Ken. Member Aldean?
Ken, a quick question. On page 5, under roles and responsibilities, I noticed that in connection with Carson City RTC, the terminology that's used is very definite. We, you know, RTC will provide, will also agree, whereas in connection with Douglas County's role and the TTD's role, it is presumed that certain things are going to happen. Is that just because the Douglas County Commission hasn't taken action to approve the description that's contained in this document with respect to what commitments they are making in association with this transportation system, and TTD has not made a similar determination?
Exactly.
And when is that likely to happen?
We think a reasonable timeline is November, December, so
okay.
That's what we're shooting for.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Member Desjardins?
He answered my question.
Jeff?
One question. The county, Douglas County, is providing deviated fixed route, I believe, in the Johnson Lane area currently, and that's not going to be a part of this program. Is that right?
That's correct. This model is more of a commuter-type service, which doesn't really deviate from a fixed route. However, there are currently services in Douglas County that can tie into that. The demand response service that can bring people out to this commuter route and get them into Carson City.
Okay. Is there a way that might be incorporated, the deviated fixed route be incorporated into this service? Because if I'm not sure that it's going to make sense for the county to provide essentially, I'm happy that the level of service is really going to increase, but to just provide the deviated fixed route may not make sense for the county when the through route would be a duplication of what's already going on there.
That's correct. We don't see a need to duplicate the service, but rather just tie them together and have a very efficient commuter service on the main corridor, and then the feeder service basically provided by Douglas County and their demand response service.
But this service would essentially take the place or duplicate half of the service that the county's providing at this time. Isn't that right?
I'm not sure about the statistic, the percentage, but that's probably very, very close. And that's why we're going through this process to see if we can come to an agreement with all the partners.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Member Foltz. Are there any other member comments or questions? Anybody in the audience care to have a thought or two on this? Thank you, Ken. Also, Patrick, I wanted to share that I was heartened to see the email that I received a week or so ago concerning the Jack ridership numbers. It's a job well done. Ken, job well done.
Yes, and that email, as I pointed out, was sent out on the 5th anniversary of the start of the Jack system.
Very good. Well, this is an informational item as well, so we'll move on to future agenda items. Paul?
This isn't really an it will eventually be an agenda item, I'm sure, but there. But this is just a note, and I have the oh, it didn't come on. The NDOT is going to conduct a public hearing on Highway 50 improvements on October 21st, which is next Thursday, at the Dayton Utilities Building at between 4 and 7 p.m. To discuss potential improvements to Highway 50 between, I think it's where the Flint Road and the top of the hill going down into Dayton. And the proposals are potentially a new interchange at between just west of Afonso, a median, a raised median for the entire distance, I believe, and some other intersection improvements. But here, I have copies of the notice here if anybody's interested. Yeah.
So do you want that as an agenda item, or were you just sharing that with us?
I'm just sharing that at this point. Okay. At some point, if NDOT does propose to do any of these improvements, then it will have to be put on the tip.
Okay. Yeah, if I may, NDOT did come before this body once before with a, if you remember, a big long map. And their staff has visited us once again since that time to go over with their plans. So Member Eswine is correct. This would be something that's in the camp area. It would be added to the tip.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Member Eswine. Any other agenda item suggestions from any member? Seeing none, let's move on to adjournment. Do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. The RTC meeting will start in 5 minutes.
little bit of the old regime, but no communication between people. And he is communication plus, as you well know. You can see that. And we're going to meet again Friday, and I'm just going to go over with him some of the history of that area and those other things. He's aghast of those kids walking across the empty field, private property.
The shortcut.
Yeah, the shortcut. And I told him there was a fence up there one time. The kids tore it down very quickly.
Well, there's actually a precedent for it.
Yes.
It's probably been solved, but I don't know if that's
one thing real quick. The biggest scare to me is the kids walking from Chicago on Fairview after they come across that shortcut and they're on the edge of plus they're walking up on the northbound lane. He's going to do something about it. I can see that. Yeah, okay.
You want to walk outside? I'm not going to stay.
Are you part of the RTC?
No, I'm not.
I was thinking about touching base with Patrick on one thing, but.
Well, go ahead. I'm not in a big hurry. I just didn't want to stay. So talk to Patrick and I'll reach outside.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Let's go ahead and convene the meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. The date is Wednesday, October 13th, 2010. We're here in the Sierra Room at the Community Center. First item on the agenda is to take the roll to determine a quorum. Kathy?
Chairperson Aldean?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Carpenter?
Here.
Commissioner Kroll?
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins?
Here.
Commissioner Mallory?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item B, approval of minutes. Does everyone have a chance to review the minutes of September 8th, 2010? And would anyone like to recommend any changes, corrections, additions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve as presented.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of September 8th.
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Any modifications to the agenda? Patrick?
Not from staff.
All right. Any modifications recommended by members of the commission? All right, we'll move on to the next item, item D, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person or topic. If your item requires extended discussion, please see me after the meeting and we will calendar the matter for a future commission meeting. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, move on to item E, disclosures. Does any member of the commission wish to disclose or explain any contact with the public regarding any item agendized on this evening's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And before we do, I just wanted to bring something to your attention. Actually, I didn't catch this one. This was sent to me by Sandy Scott. This is actually, the errata sheet is applicable to item FA, or 8, not F9. And it merely inserts a date of commencement of the agreement. So if you were intending to pull that item because there was no commencement date, there is now a commencement date.
Okay.
Whoever makes the motion to approve the consent agenda, if you would merely refer to the errata sheet as it applies to item F8, that would be great. Okay, does any member of the commission or any member of the public wish to have any item on the consent agenda removed and heard separately? All right, seeing none, bring it back to the commission. Would anyone care to make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the one modification to item F8?
Go ahead. Madam Chair, I move that this board approves items F1 through F9, including the errata sheet for item F8, which incorporates a completion date.
Thank you. Comments? Thank you. Comment on the question, Russ?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. We've got an item that is G6. And that is, I'm curious as to why that was not a part of the consent agenda.
If I may, and Joel, stop me if I'm wrong, we have a dollar limit of $200,000 for which may be provided on the consent agenda.
Okay.
So it exceeded that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Let's move on then to public meeting item G1, information on the Carson City Gateway Signage Project. Mr. Sharp, good evening.
Jeff Sharp here, city engineer. A couple weeks ago when we were putting together the agenda, I was all excited because I was going to come in front of you and ask for you to actually vote on something. But as it turns out, we got our comments back from NDOT. And they told us there's no way we're going to connect into their electrical system for their existing streetlights. And so we were going to ask you whether you wanted to consider going with a solar option or the standard electrical connect to the grid option for these for lighting the signs. And now we don't have that option. And it was on the north end of the project, the north gateway, that we were really looking at trying to save some money. It didn't end up being all that much money. We looked at the two options. Just to give you an idea, there you can get a package solar system for about $8,500. That's an engineer's estimate. I mean, it may be more or less depending on what the bid item comes in. But that's what we were comparing it to. And versus connecting to the grid out there on the North Gateway, since NDOT had their lighting circuit right next to the project, we were thinking we could tie into their system probably quite a bit cheaper. So we were estimating it to be about half of the cost of the solar system there. On the South Gateway, we still thought we could realize a little bit of cost savings connecting to the grid. There is some NDOT lighting. It's a little bit further from our sign, so we'd have to do some trenching and conduit to get up there. And, you know, we might save $1,000 or $2,000 on the South Gateway. That's if we could connect to the grid. On the East Gateway, there was never an option to connect to the grid. There's no usable power source there. So it would be cost prohibitive to bring grid power to that location.
Jeff, on the east portal, I thought there was a power pole within.
There is a power pole. It's high voltage power lines, and so you'd have to set a transformer and.
Okay.
And then in the power pole, there's one there, but it's not usable for our project. And I mean, it would be tens of thousands of dollars to get usable power there versus, you know, the other option. For solar, it looks like it might be about $8,500. So,
and that's per gateway?
Per gateway, right. So really, at this point, it looks like our best option and our only option is to go with the solar. And the good news about the solar is you save the cost of the monthly power bill. And so Conservative estimates are that you could probably save anywhere from $500 to $1,000 per gateway on the electric bill by going with a solar. And so
Per year.
And so it wouldn't take you that many years to make up the difference in the capital cost. And one question certainly is, you know, how reliable are the solar systems as far as long-term maintenance goes? Well, it turns out that you can get warranties on these things now for like 10 to 15 years. So with that in mind, it seems like a pretty good option to go with the solar. And so that's why we decided that really that is the way to go. And there's really not a lot of point for discussion anymore on that, but especially since we can't connect to the NDOT lighting circuits like we were hoping to. So just to give you some other updates on the project, we did make a submittal to NDOT, I guess it was about 2 months ago, for a 60% submittal. And about, I guess, 3 weeks ago, we got their comments back. They had some comments, nothing major. So we're in the process. I've met with the consultant, and the consultants met with their subconsultants, and we're in the process of going from a 60% design to a 90% design. And they found that they need to gather a little bit more field topographic information. They had a problem with the mapping on the north end of the project. Things weren't lining up with what was in the field. They were using some NDOT mapping from the freeway project, and these things weren't lining up. So we're going to have the subconsultant RCI go out and get some more topo information. I think they're actually done with that work now. And then they were going to go and do a little bit of topo on the south end just to tie in with NDOT's final improvements out there. That NDOT has that the south gateway sign. They've made all their road improvements out there. They have the guardrail and the cut slopes and all that. So our 60% design was based on their design drawings, and now we have actual field constructed stuff that we can compare with and tie into with our survey. So that is ongoing, and we should have a 90% design done probably the first part of November, and then that will go and get resubmitted back to NDOT for their review. The NDOT's estimates are about a six-week turnaround on the review time, so we probably will count on that, and then we'll address any final comments from NDOT, do a 100% design, and then resubmit to NDOT for their final approval. So that's where we're headed. Probably at this point go into bid sometime first part of next year, I would guess, and probably construction, you know, May, April, whenever it makes sense to get out there and start working. These projects, there's not a lot of earthwork going on, so they could probably get started, you know, anytime after the weather, after the snow stops flying. So. Take any questions that you have.
Jeff, one quick question about cost overruns. I mean, you know, obviously it's kind of an unknown what it would have cost us, even if NDOT had conceded and allowed us to hook into their light poles.
Right.
Do we have kind of a ballpark estimate of what that might have cost to tap into the grid?
Yeah, we were thinking, well, on the North Gateway, we had an estimate of about $3,500.
Okay.
On the South Gateway, it was closer to $6,500.
Okay.
So there might have been a $5,000 cost difference on the north end, and the south end maybe been about $2,000.
Okay, on the east portal, we had
east
no
portal. We didn't really have an option there. So,
do we have enough money in the budget to absorb?
Well, and that's
cost?
What I will be coming back to you once we get our design to the point where we can get a real good engineer's estimate. I want to come back and talk to you about that because, you know, just looking at the preliminary costs now, we may be with our estimate higher than the budget for the project. So that's something that I would like to come back and talk to you about later. It's looking like, I mean, just ballpark now, we may be $100,000 higher on our estimate than the budget. I think the project budget's about $420,000, half of which was going to be a match grant money from NDOT. But so we'll have to talk to you about the project, whether we want to keep the project, go forward with the project at the higher costs. I mean, keeping in mind that we're still going to get bids coming in, and they may come in lower than the estimates. But and look at, you know, what kind of options we have to cut costs. And I honestly don't know that there's all that much. I mean, these are pretty basic signs. One of the options to look at is what kind of facing we want to put on the columns, whether it be a real stone or an artificial stone product. And so there's some cost savings associated with putting an artificial product. The reason to go with the real stone is because it's more durable, and especially with graffiti and whatnot, you can get the graffiti off of there without ruining the material. But that's one thing that we can discuss. The other thing that the consultant mentioned to me that we could talk about is whether we want to light it. I think the answer is yes. I mean, honestly, I don't believe that we should be putting signs out there if they're not lit at night. But that's something that we can consider. I mean, you have $8,500 here on each sign that potentially we could save if we didn't light the signs. But I don't know if that's a great alternative. But.
Well, if you can provide the commission with all of those options,
yeah,
that would be great.
That's what I plan to do is once we get our – probably at the 90% level, we'll have a real good refined cost estimate and engineer's estimate.
Okay.
And then I'll come back and we can talk about what to do about, you know, if we're higher with our estimate than our budget, what we do about it.
Okay.
And
well,
so,
that might also include finding alternate funding. Supplemental funding for the project, and unfortunately, one of the options would be to eliminate one of the gateway signs.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how that would affect our match money, because the match money is based on building three signs, so we can have that discussion with NDOT, but I'm afraid that if we cut out a third of the project, they might just cut out a third of their match money, too.
Okay.
So I.
Yes.
And we can always ask.
Yeah,
and if they have any more community match money laying around.
Yeah.
Well, right, and we want to preserve that as an option, obviously. Better to have two than have none. And then we would probably need some traffic counts at the north, south, and the east ends of town just to determine where we're getting the greatest number of cars coming into the community. So that might determine which of the gateways are going to be built and which one will be eliminated.
Okay.
Commissioner Russ Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jeff, I'm just tickled that you're having to use solar panels. I think that that's
I knew you guys would like that.
Yeah, because that's showing you know everybody that drives in that we're a lean, green,
eco-friendly
eco machine. Yeah. So,
well, and it
but
just,
I like that. But
yeah, it just penciled out too. I mean, the over the years you recover that cost in the not paying the power bills. So
I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And if we have funding problems, then let's not give up on the ghost there, because I'm thinking that we can get money from somewhere to cover that because that is, you know, that's advertising for our community. And so if it looks like we're going to run short on funding, don't give up on the third sign.
No,
I'm glad you asked about it, because it gave me an opportunity. I didn't really want to talk about the budget at this point, but I mean, the estimate, because it's still, you know, floating around, but it's floating around higher than our budget. So I'm glad you asked, and so I've let the cat out of the bag now.
Okay. That was my least favorite option, by the way.
And the one, just to add one note on the solar option, the other good thing about having we wanted to have all of them the same, because if you went with a solar here and a grid there and a solar, you start mixing and matching, and from an operations standpoint, then somebody goes out to one sign. We would like the maintenance person to be able to know that they're all the same. And with the solar option that we're looking at now, they will all be identically the same. So that's good for maintenance.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you. Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you. Commissioner Carpenter, I think, was looking over my shoulder at notes because he pretty much captured what I was going to say. And I think it's what better kudos can this community get than having solar? Because I think the impact that we can get way beyond both state and national would be great. And so I strongly support the solar option, although, you know, that's the only one we have now.
Right.
Let's use it. Let's use this resource that we have.
Good. Well, I'm glad I have all of your support for that.
Do you know, and I guess it depends on what package we purchase, Jeff, but how much energy can be stored? In other words, if you have 2 weeks of cloudy days, I mean, how sensitive are these solar panels in terms of what they're able to collect when the weather is
inclined? Yeah, I asked the sub-consultant working on the project that question, and he said that He didn't see that as a problem. He didn't give me a good straight answer, like 2 weeks or, you know, whatever. But basically he told us with the weather that we have around here, we wouldn't have a problem storing enough power to keep the lights lit. So,
well, we're going to send Russ and Charles out with flashlights, you know, if the solar doesn't function properly.
Right.
Illuminating those signs.
Nothing beats free labor.
Well, yeah. We'll get a wind turbine and put it right here.
Yeah.
my favorite subject. Okay. I'll take care of them offline. Okay. Jeff, thank you very much.
So I'll be back.
Any other questions for Jeff before we leave the podium? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to your next report. Okay, moving on to the next item, I really should ask Commissioner Carpenter to introduce this item because I know it's something he's been waiting for with bated breath. We're going to talk about bus advertising, and here's Ken. Ken, welcome back.
Madam Chair, members, we're happy to bring this item back to you for consideration.
We're even happier that you're here.
Yes. We just wanted to let you know that the appeal is very enthusiastic and optimistic about this as well. They've already assigned a program or a project manager to work with us. Startup costs will reduce the initial income, but there will be no out-of-pocket expense to us. And the appeal will manage the entire program, simply cut us a check every month, and we'll use the advertising policy that this board has already approved as a guide.
Standing ovation. Ken, quick question. I know that part of the initial setup cost is acquiring the frames. Did we give them any design details?
Yes.
We did.
And it's very similar to what RTC and Reno is using. So, in fact, it's the same sign shop.
And is this the I'm looking at the sign size. Is it exterior only?
The frames will be exterior, yes, but there is an interior space on the new buses that we can also sell.
Okay, and where are those rates? Is that part on the rate chart? Maybe I haven't looked at the back. Let's see.
No, I don't see that. I don't see an interior rate here, but that can be developed easily.
Okay.
It'll obviously be much less expensive than these here.
Now, the presumption is in some of these expenses that the advertiser will be using the appeal for design and production, but they're not obligated to do so. So the expenses that are reflected in this estimate on the back page of what you gave us may be a little high if there's no design and production cost involved.
Exactly.
Okay. And what is are we dictating, or is the appeal dictating what the payment policy will be? In other words, whether or not we'll collect this money all up front, or well, if it's a 6-month contract, the advertiser will be allowed to pay on a monthly basis or on a quarterly basis, as opposed to in a lump sum. Who dictates the payment policy?
I think we're giving the appeal the option to negotiate the contract with their advertisers and then just pay us.
Okay. All right. And what about advertising on bus shelters? Do you want to get your feet wet first with the buses and then talk about augmenting our income, perhaps, with some tasteful advertising on our shelters?
We could consider that down the road. Unfortunately, currently, the sign ordinance doesn't permit shelter advertising. For some reason, there's no problem with a moving advertisement, but something stationary is not allowed.
I think maybe we know somebody who might be willing to exercise some influence over that issue. Okay. any other comments by members of the commission on this item?
I like this.
Aside from lots of kudos.
And congratulations. Good job. This is great. And plan for getting advertising in the shelters.
Mr. Mayor.
On the advertising, we talked about brackets and things like that. With the way that flat-screen TVs are coming out these days, there might be some appetite if they would ever want to revisit this to putting advertising on a video screen in the Jack bus itself. It might sometimes, if people are in there a long time and you just watch it like watching TV, it could be a bigger source of ad revenue for everybody around. So.
Excellent idea.
But they may never get off. If they don't give off, they don't have to pay another fee.
Stay out and watch the old Wild West.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Ken, very much. I think everybody's very enthusiastic about getting this this program moving. So with that, Mr. Carpenter, would you care to make a motion?
Yeah.
Let's pass this. Madam Chair, I have to get the right language here. Excuse me. I move to approve contract number 1011-126 with the Nevada Appeal for the implementation and management of a bus advertising program for the JAC system with a contract term of 2 years beginning November 1st, 2010 and ending October 31st, 2012, and 2 1-year contract extensions that may be exercised by Carson City. And the fiscal impact, there will be none. This is a revenue contract.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? Any member of the audience wishing to comment on this item? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. I know what you're going to say.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next item, item G3. This is an informational item only having to do with the grants coordination and tracking policy. Patrick?
Thank you. The city manager recently implemented a grants coordination tracking policy for the city as it relates to all departments, frankly, with respect to the Board of Supervisors, and has since once amended that policy to take care of some issues that came up early on and made improvements. But one of the things that was noticed by staff and also, I believe, by our chair, is that the RTC awards numerous projects and also deals with numerous grants. As you're aware, we have grants that apply to both road projects and to transit projects, and so a specific policy that is based on the citywide Board of Supervisors policy was developed for RTC usage, and it covers all the important points. Some highlights are, you know, making sure that we, of course, retain our records, share them with the city grant coordinator to ensure that we are following the proper procedures, and also that the that we have approval prior to submission and prior to acceptance from the RTC at certain financial levels. For these grants, and this is to ensure that we have, you know, we have proper vetting of these grants that we are seeking to ensure that we have, for example, matching funds. An example we could use is the, and this one we actually voluntarily brought before you a couple years ago, the Gateway Signage Project. Prior to our submission, we actually brought that before the RTC to confirm that this was something that the RTC was interested in us applying for, because it had a relatively higher match of 50%. So we brought it before you, and now that will be formalized, and we'll be required to do so. With that, I'd leave it to the chair, as she had an opportunity to review and make comments on this prior to adoption.
Thank you, Patrick. Well, this is basically past citywide application, but it's merely been customized for RTC to give the commission the opportunity to do what the Board of Supervisors does right now. And you'll see an item in section 6.3, there is a process whereby a department head can request a waiver because of short time frames for submittal. And ironically, the next item on the agenda illustrates the importance of having that provision in this policy, because sometimes when you're chasing after grant funds, you know, time is of the essence, and in order to acquire those funds, you have to act sooner than this board meets. So any questions or comments regarding this policy? Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you. Patrick?
How is it your intent to get this information? Are we going to get a monthly report with our packet on the tracking for those grants that we're responsible for, or have you given some thought to that?
That's actually a very good question. Right now, the city, through the grants coordinator, does a quarterly update to the Board of Supervisors of all grants. So it would be relatively easy for us to, and that includes even the grants that come through RTC as well. It would be relatively easy for us if you wish to parse out the ones that apply to the RTC and provide that on a quarterly basis to the RTC for your review, if you so desire.
Well, if it would be simpler, it's all a matter of public record. You can provide the entire report to the three members of the commission who don't already receive it.
Yeah, you could have the whole, and then we wouldn't even have to parse it out. We could just give you the whole thing.
You're going to overwhelm you with
paper. Well, I'm not sure I want to look at a lot of stuff, I was asking maybe something a little tailored to us without, you know, a lot of staff time.
If you don't mind, we can give you an example and let you and see what it looks like. It's not a very extensive document, frankly. It's not, you don't have to dig through 60 pages or anything.
To be honest with you, Charles, I think it would be less labor-intensive for them just to make three extra copies of what's given to the board.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You see them.
Sounds great.
I haven't.
Okay. Right. Well, it's informative because I think what it illustrates is how aggressive our staff is in looking for other sources of revenue to supplement our general fund revenue.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions or comments by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. This is informational only, so we'll move on to the next item, which is item G4, and this has to do with free bus passes for senior citizens on Jack. Patrick?
And indeed, this one is one of those ones that overlapped only slightly in this transitional period to the new policy. This grant was actually applied for, I don't know how many months ago, prior to the consideration of this policy. And is consistent with the grant that was previously received. The only difference is that instead of receiving $40,000 for a total of a 12-month period, because of a change in the fiscal year that's being used, they decided to award it three quarters of the money, $30,000 for a 9-month period. So we'll be doing this again on the new cycle shortly. Indeed, this is in effect on October 1st, and the it was applied for long ago. By the time that we found out about this, we were right down to the wire for being able to print the new passes for the seniors. We also spent 2 hours a day the last week of September at the senior center handing out the new passes because the seniors are required to get new passes each year as part of the program. And it's very important that we've got hundreds of people a day coming to the senior center, riding our buses to the senior center, and it was certainly up our ridership. They all wanted to come get their free pass. And we do currently provide, and Ken, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's about 4,000 free trips a month to the seniors of Carson City under this program. So we're very happy to have it. To be consistent with our new policy, we would like action to confirm our acceptance of these funds.
Patrick, now I assume, even though it says that there's no fiscal impact, there is a $4,500 match. Well,
yes, that is correct. But frankly, without this $30,000, we would be using that much more of,
I understand. It's a net gain. But
yes. We have to.
For purposes of disclosure,
yes,
we should probably.
Absolutely. That is correct. The funding entity wants to ensure that the system isn't existing only on their monies, and of course we know that we spend a great deal more money than that which they give us.
Okay, great. All right. Any other questions or comments by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. Would somebody care to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move to approve grant award number 01-006-10-LX-11 from the State of Nevada Aging and Disability Services Division in the amount of $30,000 for the period October 1, 2010 to June 30th, 2011 for the provision of free bus passes for senior citizens on the Jack fixed route system. And the fiscal impact, though indicated as none, is actually a $4,500 match to secure this funding.
Thank you. All right. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, which is also information only, G5. This has to do with a familiar subject. Clerk. Bear Creek Road.
And as I admit to recycling the agenda form, I know that the last time we had this before you was about 6 months ago. We just wanted to give you an update that that frankly not a whole lot has changed on Old Clear Creek Road. We have some rumblings of development proposed to be proceeding up there, but none has currently. The chair and Commissioner Mallory and myself met with 9 or 10 of the property owners just last week, and discussed with them their concerns and interests. And one of the prominent things that came out of that meeting is still the discourse and uncertainty regarding ownership and of the road itself. So we have we are seeking a little more documentation as to confirm ownership from both the Nevada Department of Transportation and additionally from the District Attorney's Office. But I believe it was a good discussion, and I checked with the Washoe Tribe again in the last week or so, and they said they're still they had nothing new to report. They have a resolution granting the staff the ability to negotiate the potential installation of a gate on tribal property to be furnished by the residents, but that no resolution has been reached as far as a date, location, or nature of a gate.
Patrick, thank you. There's not a lot to add. It was a very cordial meeting, we bounced around a few ideas about how we could possibly accommodate the people who have historically recreated in that area and yet address the owner's concerns about ultimately liability is their primary concern about if somebody gets injured, who is ultimately responsible for paying the bill and who is going to get sued. And the answer is probably everyone, but the question is who is legally liable? And that's something that we're hopefully will be able to address in future meetings. Commissioner Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the things that I came away from after going to 3 or 4 of these meetings and one bus tour with Patrick and some of the homeowners is that the recreational people that are going to use this road in the future, if this works out, and this is what we're trying very, very hard to keep this open to recreational people, are going to have to do it with the respect that they're probably operating in an environment that will be different than what it has been in the past. And there won't be any free-for-all riding 5 abreast, things like that across the road. That the homeowners are going to be paying very close attention to how the recreational people use the facility. We discuss trespass issues. We discuss trash and fires and camping and picnics and all the rest of those things. And it'll be taken away from the recreational users if that respect isn't there. So I think this is a double-edged sword, or the door swings both ways, or however we want to describe this. But it's not just a matter of working with the homeowners to keep it open for recreational people, which we're very, very diligently trying to do. But it's going to be working with the recreation people to be able to keep the issues and the things that are near and dear to the homeowners from flaring up and the gate being put in there and closed to everybody except for themselves. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And thank you, Jim, for your continued involvement in seeking a resolution to this issue. And as you state, it's going to require a lot of self-policing by the people who recreate on the Old Clear Creek Road. So hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, we will be bringing forth a resolution to this issue. Any public comment? Jeff, I see you in the back of the room. No? Okay, we'll move on to the next item, which is G6. Which has to do with the approving of a contract summary with respect to the Silver Oak Drive and North Street, North Carson Street intersection. Jeff,
good evening again.
Back.
Jeff Sharp, City Engineer. Well, I'm pleased to tell you that our Silver Oak Drive extension project from Geos Richards Boulevard out to Carson Street is finished, and the road turned out pretty nice. And so next time you're out there, check it out. It'll be another way that you can get over to the golf course and play some golf there at Silver Oak. Or there's a bunch of businesses along G.S. Richards Boulevard that now you have a better way to get there, as well as some properties along the golf course there that along Silver Oak Drive that are ready to build houses on. So that this is a good improvement, and it makes for a more direct way for people to get into the Silver Oak area versus having to go down to College Parkway and drive down there and take a left and take a right. And it was very confusing for those people in there to give directions of how to get into their businesses. And that, so now this is open, and it's a direct shot in there. The intersection is not signalized. That's something that, you know, years down the road, if the traffic increases and it's warranted, then we may look at and putting a signal there. But we do have a crosswalk there, and the road is real nice. This is an action item to accept the work as completed and to approve the release of the first payment and the release of the final payment in the amount of $317,942.63 for contract number 0910-221, titled Silver Oak Drive and North Carson Street Intersection Improvements to Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. And I can tell you the project, the bid amount was $316,007, I believe. We had one change order on the project. There was a change that needed to be made as a result of some additional input at the last minute from Nevada Energy. We needed to change up our electrical design just a little bit, and so it ended up costing, I think we ended up spending about $1,900 more than the bid amount. So we were, pretty close to being right there on the bid amount. With that, I'll answer any questions if you have any.
The good thing is we use very little of our contingency.
Yes, very little, yeah.
Good job. Any comments or questions by members of the commission? Any comments or questions by members of the audience? Seeing none. Jeff, thank you very much. We'll bring it back for commission action. Someone care to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Good. Charles?
Madam Chair, I move to accept the work as completed, to accept the contract summary as presented, and to approve the release of the first and final payment in the amount of $317,942.63 for contract number 0910-221, titled Silver Oak Drive and North Carson Street Intersection Improvements to Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. And our economic impact is $317,942.63.
Thank you. Is there a second? Any comments on the question? Mr. Mayor.
I probably should have asked this early on. Just for my edification, how do we satisfy ourselves that subcontractors have been paid and that there are no liens? I didn't see that in the language here.
Lien releases, for some.
Joel?
I assume we're doing that by lien release, and we do that before we bring these notice of completions forward.
Let me check with Public Works to determine the process they use, and I can get back to you personally.
That's fine. That's okay. I'm okay with it.
Do you want to make payment contingent upon
confirming
that we have those releases?
No, it's okay. Fine. I'll talk to DA offline.
But yeah, I just assume that was part of the process. I mean, to ensure that no liens are filed. Okay. Well, Joel, if you could get back to us on that would be great. All right. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Item H1, any comments on the activities report from the Public Works Street Operations Division? I'm assuming, Patrick, that our sidewalk installations that are not part of a larger development or street improvement project are still complaint-driven for the most part?
The sidewalk replacements that are listed here are generally done with street operations funding that doesn't come directly out of RTC. And yes, indeed, we do have a list of requests that we try to work through as efficiently and effectively as possible.
And how about that section on Long Street, East Long Street? When is construction going to start on that project?
Design is nearly complete. Rob Fells is the project manager for that, and I believe he's going to be ready to go out to bid within a month or two. And this is the section of on the north side of East Long Street, west of Solomon, and east of Molly.
And just for purposes of disclosure, because I've already had this conversation with Patrick, I did receive a call from a gentleman who lives on Lucan's Lane off of Sherman Lane, and he's feeling very neglected. So that area of town has gone through a lot of changes over the years, and I think we probably need to take a look at what that area might require in the way of sidewalk improvements.
There's always another cycle of grants coming around the corner.
All right, just want to keep that area in mind. But I think we do need to do an assessment at least to determine where we could get the biggest bang for our buck. Okay, all right, any other questions regarding item H1? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item.
Chair.
Yes, I'm sorry, Charles.
I just wanted to extend my comment from last month relative to Hell's Bells, where I live. I think that project, although I haven't talked to anybody there recently, the street is still a mess, and I would just suggest the public avoid Hell's Bells if at all possible and use Fifth Street east and west. There is a sign that says it's Hell's Bells is closed except to the owners or the property owners along there. And I think generally the public is observing that. But I think there appears to be this project is taking considerable longer than it was originally anticipated. So I suspect for a good part of October, maybe into November, I would avoid Hell's Bells Road.
Well, on a positive note, though, obviously this section of Rupp Street is open and is accepting traffic, and that's a wonderful improvement.
And to add that, we were happy to get some media coverage for this, but the Jack bus routes, because this opened and work is intensifying to the north of here on Rupp Street near Long and Beverly, the Jack bus routes have been rerouted, and we now have nice bus pullouts and shelters on Rupp Street in front of the library and here in front of the community center.
It was ready and waiting for advertising.
And I'm hoping that they delay the striping on this second portion down here until it's a good windy day so that it'll match the striping that they did on that portion.
You want to respond to that, Jeff?
Are we on H2 yet?
All right.
We're there.
Let's move on to H2.
Okay.
Jeff.
On Rupp Street, good comment. What you see out here is actually they put beads over the top of the striping for retro reflectivity, and the bead machine apparently wasn't working too well that day because there's more beads than there is paint out there, and so that's why everything looks blurry. Or one reason is because they've got it's not just the wind, but there's so many beads. The yellow lines look like they're beige, and it's just one of those things, but the beads will blow away, and they're actually going to bring a street sweeper out here. It should be in the next couple days and get those beads swept up. So just to give you a report on the south end, the striper didn't quite finish his job. He didn't do the striping south of the intersection here with Washington and Rube. So the striper will have to come back and finish that. He needs to touch up the existing striping where they had patches and get all that finished up. We have Washington Street still closed. And so just so everyone knows and the public knows this, Washington Street with this project was changed to a one-way street, and it's one-way going westbound. So you can't come from the library eastbound towards the community center. That movement is no longer allowed. And the reason that the street is closed right now, we had some traffic markings down, but people were just going through there two-way, like they didn't realize that the road is now one way, and so we've done some striping on the ground, and we're going to put some additional signs, some do not enter signs, and some signs at the library parking lot that say no left turn and that sort of thing, so that we can try to get people's attention that this is a one-way street now, and hopefully that will work. If it doesn't, I'm going to close it back again, and we'll figure something else out. But
Jeff, when you talk about striping, are you going to narrow the field of view so that people are less inclined to use it for two-way traffic?
Yeah, we did add a centerline stripe on Washington Street, so that should help at least define the lanes. But we might even need to look at doing some additional striping, like you said, or maybe even a median island or something in addition to what we have out there that gets people's attention, that when they're coming eastbound on Washington, they can't keep going that way. They've been doing that for years and years and years, and now here we are with a one-way situation. So it's just going to take people to get used to it. But at this point, I had it open and I closed it back because it was dangerous. We were getting complaints from library staff of people I think they told me that there was over 100 people. I don't know how they counted all this, but they told me there was over 100 people going the wrong way on the road within some period of time that they counted. So,
old habits die hard.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, there's still a little bit of work to clean up on the south end, but it is open for traffic, so that's good. On the north end, we have the pavement down now between William Street and Long Street, and the contractor's working on the sidewalks along the edges, and also there's a lot of edge treatments along the adjacent properties. You can, if you look down there, you can see that the road is, it's wider, and so it's cut into the yards and the frontages of a lot of the properties down there, and some of them require curb walls and different things like that to transition back into the property. So that's an ongoing effort, is to get all of those transitions made. And then the contractor is doing the earthwork. They're putting a gravel base down now up north of Long Street. That's the next section that they're going to pave. Their plan is to have curb and gutters here in the next week, and then they're going to pave it right before Nevada Day. It won't be open to traffic at that point, but it will be paved, and that's good news for the construction because, you know, the weather window is evaporating here. So that'll be a great milestone to get that paved. After they get it paved, it's still going to be closed to traffic, probably, I'm guessing, at least through November, maybe, you know, maybe first part of December before the thing is fully open to traffic, because there's a lot of work that has to happen on the side, the sidewalks, and again, transitioning into all the adjacent properties. But
just to clarify, it will be open to traffic on Nevada Day, but then it will be closed again until the work is finished.
We're not going to have the road. We're not planning to have the road open.
Oh, really?
North of William Street, we weren't planning to have it open on Nevada Day. The reason being is because it will have just been paved the day before or a couple days before. It won't have any striping. And so there's an issue with, if you're trying to run traffic on a road with no striping, there's a concern, traffic safety concern. It's a very wide road.
Don't you think, though, Jeff, I mean, we don't have striping. The striping out here isn't finished either, and people know to stay to the right. I mean, Nevada Day is a mess, and if you can't use the main street, you know, people will typically gravitate to Mountain or Rope or Division.
Well, we can look at that. Maybe we can put some temporary tabs or something down the middle.
That would be great. I think that would be a nice accommodation for people.
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues is we have we'll have to put some striping down for the signal at Long Street to make sure that we have the turn lanes identified and whatnot.
Okay.
But we'll take a look at that and see
if that would be great.
We can get that at least temporarily open
on
that weekend on Nevada Day.
That would be perfect.
Okay.
Great. All right. Jeff, thanks very
much.
Any
other questions on Roop Street?
No, don't see any.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Any other questions on anything contained in the project description report? I had one, Patrick or Jeff. Let's see. On the landscaping project, I know that we're not anticipating starting construction on the freeway landscaping project until after the first of the year. NDOT's portion was to begin in September. Did they actually begin in September? I haven't seen the evidence of that.
No. They're actually, last week's the road report that we that we received from NDOT every Friday, they actually reported last week Friday that they were expecting to start this week.
Okay.
Whether or not they did. They were going to be out of traffic and not interrupting traffic on Fairview or otherwise. But I haven't seen if they've started or not. But if they haven't, they're extremely close.
Okay. And then on the Stewart Street extension to Curry, is it my understanding that we have more or less abandoned that connector because of problems with geometry?
No, we have not abandoned that connector. We actually have a couple of different designs that have been developed by our design consultant that is still working on that for future implementation, of course. We don't have the money programmed to actually build it, and we're going to take the opportunity as we get into winter here and we start doing this travel demand modeling as part of the Campo Regional Transportation Plan update, data collection, and modeling to model a couple different scenarios for having it connected or not under the current, you know, with having these new roads completed. For example, the north end of North Stewart Street is now done. That will be taken into account in our modeling process, and we will evaluate the potential usefulness and utilization of that connection. So
okay.
It's not dead. It's just a matter of we want to make sure that it's
worth it to proceed.
Okay. And once we, if in fact the determination is made that it is worthwhile to proceed, I think we need to reopen negotiations with the U.S. Forest Service. You know, I think we have a receptive audience right now, and I think we need to take advantage of that and perhaps run, you know, enter into some sort of, if just if necessary, a preliminary agreement.
Right. And yes, the U.S. Forest Service has previously indicated that the process to obtain the availability of that right-of-way would, you know, we should expect a year to get through that process. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Any other questions by members of the commission? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the last item on our agenda, other than adjournment, and that is future agenda items. Patrick?
Unlike last month, I don't have a very long list yet, so I'm sure we'll have some items, but nothing of substance yet.
Okay. Jim may have one to add. Commissioner Mallory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to broach this as innocently as I can, but as I look at the Roop Street project, it seems to me that the oversight management consultant cost just for that project is $600,000-$700,000. Is that correct, Jeff? And I have to look at this from the standpoint of what's the best fiscal policy, where do we get the biggest value for our money vis-a-vis full-time permanent city employees that could do the same thing and work on other projects, oversee other projects during the year as well. $600,000-$700,000 for one project is a fair amount of money and would support several full-time staff people. Thank you.
Patrick and I had a discussion about that item, which was one of our consent agenda items, having to do with oversight of the Roop Street project. And there are, as he explained to me, a number of extenuating circumstances, not the least of which are the additional work on Long Street, which was not originally anticipated. Yeah, long hours, and my question was, can we recoup some of this supervisory money from the contractor? But the contractor is in compliance with the contract, and so we need to make sure that the work is done and done properly, so oversight is very important. So I understand your concern because I had a similar concern, but unfortunately in this instance I think it's unavoidable. Okay, any other comments by members of the commission? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, I got
to
say, the next RTC meeting is November 10th?
Yes.
For all you out there, that is the Marine Corps birthday.
Happy birthday, Marine Corps.
Semper Fi.
All right. Remind us of that on the 10th. Okay. All right.
Well, today, I think, is the Navy birthday, so.
All right. So is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. Is it second? Second? Yep, all those in favor?
Yep.
Any opposed? Thank you, everyone. Good meeting.
I don't think we require these release of liens for the subcommittee.